T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's been a while since we've said hello to our friend Rich Aurelia, former San Francisco Giant, all-around good guy. And before we talk any baseball, because I knew that you crossed paths with him more than once or twice, what are your feelings, Rich, on the passing of Ralph Barbieri?
First of all, thanks for having me back on, guys. It's good to hear your voices again. I did Ralph's show for a few years, when I had my first go around with the Giants, and I saddened to hear of his passing. But I think the one thing people need to realize, and I think all you guys kind of knew him a little bit, he wasn't always that personality that we came across on the radio. You know, I kind of looked at it as that was his job, and every time he was around a clubhouse with his son, he was very respectful, very nice gentleman, and sad to hear his loss.
I tell you, I was really surprised to see how personal Barry Bonds said goodbye to Ralph Barbieri on social media, and it was an insight into the softer side of Barry. And again, you've always been such a great guy and so easy to get along with, and Ralph could be like that too when you'd get him off the air. There's no doubt about it. Richie, how's the family? How's everyone doing, man? You staying safe and sound?
Yeah, everybody is. Everybody's in good shape. Everybody's healthy. Knock wood, we all stay that way in these crazy times, man.
So,
how's the wine going?
Yeah, that's the important question, Ray. You know what? Wine's actually going pretty well. I think a lot more people are taking advantage of having wine delivered to their front door. And I think in these sheltered-in-place times, I think people are delving a little bit more into the alcohol when they're home. So things are okay right now.
Are you among those?
I am among those. I did take a little break for about a month because I wasn't feeling too well. And
that's a long hangover.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling well for other reasons.
Okay.
Let's just say I don't have a lot of confidence in the testing system right now. I'm back on the horse. We just bottled some Cabernet last week and did some barrel sampling with some Pinot Noir. So all is good in the Red Stitch wine world for us.
I want to ask you a baseball question, then I'll turn it back over to Matt.
Sure.
As you look at the Giants, you see a team that's not very sound defensively right now. How easy a fix is that? Or is this something that fans are just going to have to live with as long as these are the guys they put out in the field every day?
Well, I think I'm going to lean towards you're just going to have to deal with it right now. You know, you had some injuries to start the season off in the infield with Belt and Longoria. Other guys haven't been playing up to their potential, I guess you would say, defensively. Other guys are being played out of position, playing positions they've not played before. So I think that it's something that will probably last most or the rest of the season, depending on how long it goes. But I think it does – what contributes to it, too, is just the shortened training time. I mean, I don't remember them having this much defensive problems in regular spring training. And now they have the quick, summer camp, boom, here you go, go play, go play some games. So I think it's a combination of things, but I do think in the long term it's fixable in a sense of got to get back to fundamentals. I mean, I think at times this team and the way they're built now with management and coaching, I think a little too much is being emphasized on sabermetrics and analytics as opposed to, hey, man, we're going to do an infield today, and this is where the cutoff man is going to be. You got to hit the cutoff man. I mean, there's something to be said for fundamentals in baseball, and I think right now with the change in this organization, I don't think enough emphasis is being put on that.
That you sort of just identified a lot of the things we've been talking about as it regards the defense today, and I guess let me tie on to that. As someone who played infield defense, do you think the shift is part of that sort of added confusion and difficulty that maybe until they can secure the fundamentals, they shouldn't be shifting around as much as they are?
Well, I think we just have to get used to everybody who's a Giants fan of watching. If Farhan's the running the organization and Gabe's the manager, I mean we know what they're all about, and you're gonna have these shifts regardless. I mean, I think last night we saw a little frustration in Johnny Cueto when a ground ball was hit right at shortstop and Crawford was playing behind second base. You know, and then Arenado hits a home run and they're back in the game. I think what this does, though, honestly, guys, is it takes away from the learning process and the knowledge of what a player sees on defense in an infield. I mean, we would always listen. We didn't have all these sabermetrics when I was playing, but I mean, we would have our defensive meetings with our infield coach before the series, and we would have individual meetings with the pitchers who were pitching that day, the starting pitchers. This is how I'm going to pitch this guy. You know, maybe shade him the pole a little bit or whatever. I mean, it was done differently, but not to these extremes where there's certain instances where there's no possible way you could turn a double play. There's a 50-50 chance on a certain hit ground ball that a runner from first, if you don't get him at second for the force out, there's a pretty good chance he could just keep going and go all the way to third and take an extra base. I think numbers-wise, when you look at it, percentage, yeah, it works because you're just going based off of what the numbers and the video and the stats show you. But I mean, a lot of times, I don't think guys are very happy, especially the pitchers, with some of these shifts.
Rich Aurelia here on 95.7 The Game, and I don't want you to talk for him, but what do you think a guy with an established gold glove like Brandon Crawford thinks of being put out of position when he sees that happen? I mean, there were a number of things that contributed to the Giants' loss last night, that one play among them. I mean, you know, cornerbacks in football have to have short memories. I guess shortstops who are gold glovers shifted out of the ability to make a play needs to have a short memory too?
I guess so. And, you know, it's none of those guys' faults. I mean, they're employees and they're doing what they're being told to do. The problem comes or arises when, you know, if your pitcher is going to pitch a guy a certain way and you're playing the exact opposite of where the way he's pitching the guy, then you run into trouble. But a guy like Craw, I mean, at least for me, the guy's, you know, veteran now and a multiple gold glove winner, an all-star World Series guy. I mean, I would trust him to judge where he wants to play somebody. I mean, based off of what he sees. But again, this game is totally, totally different now where I couldn't even tell you, honestly, if there are meetings with infielders before a series or whatever, because now everything's in a binder or on a computer where you just go look. And, you know, and you know what? I'll tell you one thing that bugs me. Baseball isn't, at least in my mind, that difficult a sport to remember where you have to play a certain hitter. Everybody I see in the field now for every team has like an index card in their back pocket to try and figure out, you know, where am I supposed to play this guy? You know, I see it all the time where an outfielder between outs, like pulls something out, looks at it, walks over to where he's supposed to play. I've seen infielders have, I mean, the catcher has like the quarterback wristband on, you know, to flip the thing up to see what pitches to call. I mean, I personally don't remember the game being that intricate and involved, but maybe I've been out of it too long and I haven't seen the other side of it.
Yeah, Richie, what was your favorite quadrant to play in.
Hey, man, I'll tell you this. I know when I played some second base in my career, I wasn't even comfortable playing on the outfield grass a little bit because I was afraid of the lip between the dirt and the outfield grass that the ball would hit that. Nonetheless, to put me like in short right field and get a one hopper and try and throw a guy out at first base, I mean, it's really changed. And I think it does contribute to, you know, offensive numbers, meaning average, being down the last couple of years. But, I mean, I'd like to say it's a fad and it'll go away, but I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Shifting to offense, the games now are averaging 18 strikeouts between the two teams every game. Is that a trend that is going to ever reverse itself, or are we basically looking at just this army of guys who are just going to swing from the heels and basically worry about barreling up rather than just making contact?
Until that side of the game, until somebody new comes around and changes the philosophy or the theories on hitting, with the combination of everybody in every bullpen in the big leagues pretty much throwing 96, 97 miles an hour, I mean, that's a recipe for strikeouts. And Ray, you guys have watched the game for a long time. I mean, there's an art to hitting with two strikes. There's an art to hitting a ground ball at second base and getting a guy to third with, you know, with nobody out. I don't know if that's taught anymore. You know, I just think what I see is a lot of, I would say, cookie cutter swings where everybody's taught to swing on this same, you know, angle plane, because the ultimate angle you get, and if you make the perfect contact, well, then the launch angle is going to be this, and the exit velocity is going to be this, and then there's supposed to be a home run 98% of the time. I mean, that's what the game has come to. And I think the art of, you know, guys getting 200 hits, guys, you know, hitting with two strikes behind an account, I mean, there's few and far between now that can do that kind of stuff.
Rich, what was Ichiro's launch angle?
Ichiro's launch angle was probably negative. -5, because he knew, see, but that's the thing. He was a back control guy, so he knew if he just needed to get a single, all he had to do was put it on the ground. He knew if he needed to hit a fly ball, he could do it. I don't know in this day and age if there's a lot of players that can back control like that anymore. And, you know, that's why you see these games, like Ray said, everything's averaging 18 strikeouts. Nobody emphasizes not striking out anymore. I mean, they really don't. And when I played, I mean, I took pride in not striking out. I mean, I didn't want to strike out. I'd rather, with 0-2, I'd rather give myself a chance and put the ball in play and have somebody boot it or fall down or something than just striking out. So I don't know if this will be around for a really long time, but it sure does seem like it's going to be around.
So maybe this is unfair to put you on the spot like this, but I agree with everything you just said, which always makes me wonder, especially because I prefer the older look of baseball where there were less strikeouts and more balls in play. What do you do? Like, if you're in charge right now, if I make you not just the commissioner but the owner of the entire league so you could do whatever you wanted, would you take steps to somehow try to encourage people not to play for the home run all the time?
I don't know, because that's every organization's individual desire of what they want. I would say, you know, one thing I would possibly do is I would not let three infielders be on one side of second base at one time. I'm okay if you put the guy like maybe behind second and the other guy in short right field, but not logging down where you have your shortstop playing straightaway second base, your second baseman in short right field, and your first baseman on the line. I think that would open up some other types of offense. But as far as guys, you know, changing their swings, I mean, you know, listen, everybody likes home runs, but you know, there's something to be said for strategy in a game. And now looking forward, guys, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but this universal DH goes through 21, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we may not see a National League style game ever again with strategy, with double switches and, you know, pitchers learning how to bunt and stuff like that. So it's interesting, and we're seeing a bunch of different things this season based off of circumstance, like with the extra innings and stuff like that. Who knows if this stuff will be around, but I don't know. We could have seen the last of the National League style game that we'll see for a really long time.
Rich Aurelia here on 95.7 The Game. I don't think I'll ever get used to the DH in the National League. I hate the three batter minimum because it just that's not how strategy is implemented by a manager who knows what he's doing with the bullpen. I do have to admit, though, as much as I wanted to hate the runner on second and extra innings, nothing gets me to flip my channel faster to that game than that situation. So in that regard, if I'm drawn to it like a magnet, I guess I really don't hate it. I'll go ahead and admit that. Let me just ask you, 24-year-old, 1996, young, single, hanging out, Rich Aurelia. Wouldn't you rather get out for a night on the town on a Saturday home game than play 18 innings?
Yeah, probably. But at 24 years old, I'm keeping my mouth shut. just sitting there. But, you know, it is an interesting situation with that. And you would think that most teams would all kind of handle it similarly, but they don't. Again, some teams can't bunt and get a guy to third because then the defense is going to walk the next guy, set up a double play, this and that. But you don't see that happen everywhere. You've seen everything kind of happen in those circumstances so far. So I don't know what to think about that. You know, you did mention you can't get used to the DH. Well, I'll tell you one group that really likes the idea of the DH, I think, is the Players Association, because they got collective bargaining coming up again. The DH is always a higher paying position. And if you have 26 men on a roster and you have your DH, it's a high paying position, which looks good at the books at the end of the year when you're looking at the Players Association salaries and stats and numbers.
What's the horrible rule change that hasn't happened yet, but that you're sure you'll see in the next couple of years?
Horrible rule. Haven't had it happen yet. I got to be honest. I honestly think that rosters will expand again in the next few years, which will make it easier for this style of game to be played, where you have platoons at most of your positions, you have relievers, you have, you know, like 12 relievers in the bullpen or whatever it is. And I think that's going to basically, as much as you try to speed up the game, I think it's going to slow down the game a little bit more. So I think that's something I really don't want to see. There's a beauty to dealing with a certain amount on a roster for 162 games. I understand why it's expanded this year for sure. But once you do it one time, you know, it's always open up for discussion, because one side is going to say, well, we did it and it worked out pretty good. You know, so we'll see where we go. But I think this year is going to, however long it lasts, I think there's going to be some precedent moving through that collective bargaining agreement after next season.
How much do you miss 24-year-old Rich Aurelia?
You know, if you asked me that when I was like 38, I'd probably say, man, I really miss that. But now that I'm 48, I'm good, man. I'm all good. I'm good. I had my day in the sun and my fun. And, you know, now I'm just enjoying, you know, just being home, being a dad, running a winery. All is good in my neck of the woods.
That's experience talking, kids. You make a note of that and you write that down. Rich, thank you for joining us. We're really happy that you're feeling good again. Don't know what happened there. I think we can all lean towards what might have happened. But, boy, we're glad that you're feeling well. Best to you, the winery, the family. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, guys, thanks. And all you guys, be safe and healthy out there. And, Ray, if I ever see you again, I'll have some wine for you, buddy.
Good, because you know the thing that I've always found? I'm incredibly thirsty.
We got to keep Ray well hydrated. Thank you very much. Rich Aurelia here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.